Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. And I'm very excited as on today's show, we are going back to our original interview format. Back to it. We have got a back catalog of so many great interviews, Ben Mendelsohn. And we are going to continue the legacy today. And if you do want more interview episodes, please support this episode by sharing it on your social media platform, giving it a thumbs up if you're watching it on YouTube, or a sweet five-star review back on good old iTunes. It's like poetry. It rhymes. Because I am going back to the original format to interview two of the original Star Wars podcasters in my life who are celebrating 20 years. 20 years of Star Wars podcasting. I don't even know if podcasting has been around 20 years. We are about to find out. I do know that many of our regular guests have barely been alive for 20 years. But I am honored, I am thrilled, I am so excited to bring on 20 years deep in the game from Star Wars on Direct. We have got Sebastian and Danny. How are you doing, guys?
Doing great, Mr. Saunders.
Thank you. That's you honor me with my surname. Now, I feel like zapping onto you. This is available if you're listening to the audio podcast. We've got a video version of this as well. There's a link in the show notes. Hit this, because when I brought you guys onto the screen after going on about 20 years, I then created the headcanon that you've been sitting at those desks for 20 years. And so you must be worn out by now. But Seven, Danny, just I don't even know where to start, because I will tell my story and then you tell us how you fit in. But when Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, introduced podcasting to the iTunes app, or program as it was called back then, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, podcasting, I've heard about this. It sounded sort of technically hard to find out what it was. But now this iTunes, I use the iTunes store, it's going to help out. And I searched a bunch of things that I was interested in. One of them was Star Wars, and I found just a couple. I can barely remember any others but you guys. And I started listening. Back then, you did the show. You did one show in French, one show in English. Fill in the gap. How did you guys get to that point in my life that you were there for me?
Okay, so let's start with the origin of Star Wars radio show, let's say, because mm-hmm. we're kind of the second generation. The first generation, there was only one web radio show, basically, that was broadcasting 100% Star Wars content, which was called Jedi Talk in 1999. Seb knows them better than me. So it was Victor Mayer, Eugene Cash, and Mark Anderson, if I'm not mistaken. And basically they started doing, you know, radio type stuff with breaks, interviews and stuff. And it was live. So call in with the guest. And fans could call in and ask questions or discuss things.
In 1999.
Yeah.
They actually had to get like a dedicated phone line in order to get the fans calling in. Mm-hmm. So that gives you an idea.
I could have watched The Phantom Menace in the cinemas and then listen to this show. I could have heard Star Wars. I want to go back. I missed all this content. What did they have to say? Did they like The Phantom Menace?
I don't remember, really.
I don't blame you for not remembering, by the way.
So basically, when we came in, Jedi Talk was still running. We came in the scene in French first in 2001. So actually, last week, it was our 20th anniversary, January 14th. And we basically, me and Sebastian were working on a Star Wars website in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, in French. And, you know, I was listening to Jedi Talk, and at some point, we wanted to start a radio show with Star Wars music first. Then I was listening to Jedi Talk, and I said, hey, we could have a feature show every week that could model a bit of the, you know, Jedi Talk. So we have call in fans, and we discuss subject. We have a main subject, and we debate stuff with fans. And at that time, there was absolutely no social media. So there was no Facebook, no Twitter, no YouTube, no nothing. The only thing really to promote the show was through forums or websites, and that was pretty much it.
Let's remember, we had the forums, but in terms of social media back then, the best that you could get was MIRC, for those who remember that. So it was like a chat application.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Okay. So basically, the way we
I'm in the middle. I don't know what MRC is or TikTok. I'm like in the middle of knowledge of that. I know Friendster. I don't know if you know Friendster was a very early social media site. I was Friendsters with Paris Hilton. So okay. there's my big name drop for the episode.
So basically, I don't know. You might remember Winamp. You know, you listen to MP3 on.
Yes. Basketball. Yeah.
So that what we use for broadcasting. So there was a plugin called Shoutcast, so we could broadcast through Winamp. So that's how we started. Basically, we were broadcasting through Winamp, so people with Winamp could listen to us live. So that's how we managed it. And the call in were through a phone line, basically.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of YouTubers currently still use Shoutcast.
Yeah, it's still on. I feel it's there's still.
You totally no sold my joke. It was just that they shout a lot, you know.
Yeah, Shoutcast. Okay. Yeah, I didn't get it at first.
I'm going to put that down to the language barrier, not that it wasn't a good joke. Okay,
it's just a good joke.
That'll be the first of many comments I make that will get no soul.
Yeah, of course, you're a comedian, so they're going to come pretty fast.
Apparently.
So basically, after a while, Jedi Talk left to be one with the Force at some point, and we were left, me and Seb, the only live show, but in French. So we discussed, and Seb was friends with Jedi Talk, so... he talked to them and he said, well, we could carry the torch for you guys since you're not doing it anymore. So we started in English. So you can see my accent. Imagine me talking in English 20 years ago, how bad it was. Now I still have an accent, but it's way better than it was before. And so basically I was more the producer. Seb was the host at that point.
I don't remember it having any issue understanding any of you guys.
Well, we tried our best to, you know, speak with like a good enough pronunciation so that the fans could understand us. But it was hilarious because during our celebration show this past weekend, Danny actually put in a video that was made back in 2003. And we can definitely hear a difference in like our accents. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. So basically we were second generation in English. So the first was Jedi Talk. Then it was us with a show in Germany called Star Wars The Cantina and Digital Llama Radio that started on the Force.net forums, the fan film forums. Then came Chrono Radio, which was Nathan P. Butler's show. That was the second generation.
And I definitely listened to Nathan P. Butler.
Exactly.
And he was like the timeline gold guy, and just like knew all the kind of, he was great. Yeah.
So, and then the third wave came in. So Star Wars Action News, Jedi Council Speak, Requiem of the Outcast, Star Wars and Beyond. And that was in 2003, 2004. And podcasting really came in 2005 when I basically Apple invented the term podcasting. But before, it was basically radio shows online. And that's pretty much it. And that's the genesis of our podcast. We did broadcast in English for 4 years, I think, 2003 to 2007. I would say full time with some special edition later on, one-offs. But we continued in French. So like we're still going. Now we have like 20 volunteers, hosts, and we branch out. We have like spin-off shows and stuff, but it's still under the Star Wars On Direct banner. Mm-hmm. But it's still going after 20 years. That's insane. It's half Sebastian's life.
Thanks for reminding me.
Now, Seb, do you recall how we met in person?
I'll be honest. If you're talking about the last Star Wars celebration, yes. But if you're talking about any time before that, no.
That was the first time we met.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, you never know, so celebrations, you know, alcohol.
And yeah, no, exactly. You know, we probably crossed paths before that, but like that was the official first time. So
I am shocked to hear anyone drinks alcohol at celebration.
Talk to the Germans. So, yeah, it was hilarious because it was the end of the day. Me and Danny were really exhausted of the entire day and all that. We're down in our hotel bar, and we just ordered some food and everything. We're just having a regular discussion. Out of nowhere, like this, like, fanboy comes jumping at us. Oh, my God. Did you guys used to have, like, a podcast in French and in English? I was like, yeah.
Who's that guy? And then, oh, I know his face. I seen him. He has a podcast.
We were at, like, the listeners to our show would know it as the Haunted Hotel, where Hawes was staying, and that was sort of like where we'd end up at the end of every day. The best vibe downstairs in that bar. God, I miss it.
And you were with your team or something just right beside us.
We were like 40 people. We had so many people. So I was walking back from the bar, and I saw your tees and with the end direct. And I don't like, there's nothing that disgusts me more, Seb, than a plug on a podcast. Like, for those listening to the audio version, in the camera, he's holding up, you know, he's holding up his T-shirt. You don't see me holding up my Steel Wars T-shirt available at merchostore.com. You don't hear me going on about it. But no,
you go. I'll hide it with a pork for you.
It's okay. I'll let it go because just for old time's sake. But so I've seen the end direct. And all these memories started flooding back. I was like, oh, my God, that show.
Did you recognize our voice when we were talking in French, our accent or anything? Because, yeah, you had the visual, but did you kind of, oh, I recognize those voice, or I'm not quite sure?
No, I couldn't hear them because it was so barry. Oh, Larry, and you know, who am I going to hear over my own voice? Let's be honest. Like, I was in a bar. It was celebration. I was a few drinks deep. So there's a lot going on. But I saw the tease and I was just like, oh, my God, this is the first Star Wars podcast I ever listened to. And, yeah, I went up and said, oh, did you guys used to do the show in French and English? And then I remember one of you go, used to? Hey, babe. We're still at it. We're still doing it. We just do it in French now. But I'd said to someone, I'll be back in 3 minutes to get a drink. I'm very fast at getting a drink. And I was like gone for 45 minutes because Danny put me in my place as describing me, I was fanboying hard. I would have caught on to you after the films had ended, Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
But I do recall, like, now when I look back, like, when the episodes, they used to go for maybe like 2 or 3 hours from memory. They were long.
Oh, yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
2005. There's nothing coming. And these guys, 3 hours a week of Star Wars news. And I mean, like, they're breaking down source books that are dropping, miniatures that are coming out. I remember there was a lot of different departments. Like, there was, like, sort of experts in each section or something. Yeah. But, like,
yep,
it was so, like, I didn't really have, like, any other Star Wars friends or anything, or particularly ones that wanted to, like, find out about all the minutiae of what was coming out and discussions and stuff. But at like, from nothing to then hearing you guys in Montreal talking about Star Wars, it was thrilling. That's when I, like, when I hear those other guys were doing it in 1999, that's, like, just baffling to me. But I do remember listening to there was, like, a Force Cast. I don't even think it was called the Force Cast. It was just, like, the Force.net podcast. And every episode was different. Like, it wasn't, it was sort of just like, I can't remember the guy's name that was recording it.
Well, there was Pete Nadel and Jason Swank, basically, which he became, Jimmy Mack came in later on, and then they Rebel Core Studio.
It was before that.
Before that?
It was, I can't remember the guy, but he did come, like, I think he was involved not too long ago, he came back. I wish I could remember his name, because he reviewed Revenge of the Sith on the podcast. And because I think he would just have content and he'd just post it up. And I think I would just listen to it on the website, maybe. But I remember one I downloaded and I had on my iPod, because it was such a weird memory for me hearing someone on a pod, like, just hearing someone talk about Star Wars. I remember the 7-Eleven I was out the front of in Melbourne listening to him talk about Revenge of the Sith. It is, like, it was so rare. That's, like, when I saw you guys, I was just like, oh, they are the OGs. I was so thrilled. But it was, yeah, I like, that was, like, part of the reason I was so, it was just like, you were there when you were there for me, guys.
Mm-hmm. Well,
when no, you didn't know you were there for me, but no. When no one else was, what were, like, some of the big stories in, like 2006?
I think there was always books. So that was, we leaned on, you know, right after Revenge of the Sith. There was the books. There was miniatures from Wizard of the Coast, comic books, of course, video games. I think there were some. And
didn't they start announcing Clone Wars around that time as well?
Yeah, but the Tartakovsky Clone Wars, I think. No, it was announced, but it started only in 2008, I think.
Yeah, it was. That's it. So in 2006, it was like the announcements of the Clone Wars, because the other one, the Tartakovsky ones, we already covered because they came out in 2003. So we were talking about like rumors about the Clone Wars and what they were going to be about and all that stuff. But yeah, the minis, expanding on the minis, some of the collectibles that were coming out. I mean, the whole idea.
It was about the community too. So
that's the thing. It's like
covering events. So up until I can remember, we were the only live show, like for probably all our English run, we were the only live show that people like came in at the 7 p.m. on the Sunday. People came in the chat rooms and like talk with us or, you know, interact with us. So we dropped a question and people react on the chat. We bounce off them. Some of them called us. We had some interview with Star Wars authors sometimes. So we had long interviews and, you know, it was, we decided like a week before what the main subject would be. And we go, like you said earlier, like by section. So we have the film news, then the collecting news, then, you know, literature, et cetera, et cetera.
I remember there'd be like a lot of talk about the miniatures and stuff, and that was like I'd never had any inkling to play, but just to hear people talk about it, I was just like, oh, this is awesome. There's something about it. Most people that people listen to now or watch, they cheated, right? Like I got started, I was podcasting already, but when Disney got announced they bought Lucasfilm, that's when I decided to do a podcast about Star Wars, because I knew there'd be stuff to talk about. But how was it for you guys back then, when, you know, it's like 2005 or whatever,
the dark days.
And it's like, ooh, I hope there's this comic keeps going. Like when you got something like the Clone Wars series announced, like how bigger vibration was that through your podcast, that it was just like, oh, there's sort of like a carrot. Yeah.
Well, basically, we had, like everybody else, we had a dark time. Like I know a lot of podcasts dropped at that point between 2005.
I do have to point out, Danny, a dark time is like years. Like in Star Wars, like modern culture, a dark time is like the Wednesday between two Mandalorian episodes. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Around Thursday back then, around Thursday in December, people are like going, oh, there's not much Star Wars going on, is there? Oh.
Yeah.
But but years is
yeah, we had to stretch solid. A lot. Like we had stopped in English. Because there were so many podcasts still. And, you know, I think some people that were better than us, overall. And so we decided to stay in French. And, it stretched really thin, the content. Like at some point, we were not like broadcasting every week or 2 weeks at all. Like sometimes it was a month apart because of lack of content at some point. You know, of course, Clone Wars saved the day. So we had content to go on and, you know, books and stuff, but it was really thin. And at some point I had left the show to go back to school, and other members of the team took over and kept the podcast alive, because without them, we would not have started again when Disney bought Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
We would have been gone at that point.
The way Danny puts it, like a lot, very often, is that we hit the bottom of the wave. And when the wave came back up, we were very thankful for the other members of the team that came in and actually helped us like boost the show back up to what it was before. Because up to 2005, content was never an issue. We always had something to talk about without any problems. After 2005, it became a little bit more sparse. And yeah, we were stretching things out. I remember at some point I read like the entire Mandalorian wiki page on one of the shows. Like, that was not one of the best shows. back then, it was before Clone Wars. So it was before the Filoniverse actually came in. And we were still talking about all of the Karen Travis
Karen
stuff.
Karen Travis, yeah.
And back then, she really was the one who actually brought up the culture. So, yeah, it was very interesting. And it was still, like, crazy fun.
Let's rewind for a little bit into your fandom. And Seb, we'll start with you. What's your first memory of Star Wars?
A lot of people don't believe me when I tell them that, but 1983, I'm 3 years old at the time, and my father took me on a Saturday to go see Return of the Jedi, because there was nothing else to do, and he had to take me out of the house. And that's what happened. There were like special screenings at a theater near my parents' place. And I just remembered Ewoks, of course, because I was three. Mm-hmm. And the lightsabers, and it just like marked me. And then the celebration at the end of the movie, and then we went home. And it didn't really kick in up until probably when I was 6, 7 years old. And, you know, the movies were showing on TV every year. But definitely that's when it all started. And there was like the jump start, like almost everyone else, in 1997. And from there, I was just like you, when you were listening to the podcast in Melbourne, I was just trying to find people to connect with. And that's the whole idea that actually fueled Star Wars on Direct. It was to actually connect with other fans and to grow the community.
You know that somewhere else on the internet, there's a podcast getting done with a fan in Montreal that's like 10 years older than you, that's telling a story about how a 3-year-old ruined his screening of Return of the Jedi.
It's very probable, yeah.
That was probably me.
All right, well, tell the story, Danny. What's your first memory?
Well, I'm closing in on 50. I'm going to be 49 this year, so I don't look like it. So basically at 5, my mother brought me to Star Wars, the original in 77, basically. So I'm a lifer. I've lived with Star Wars all my life. I've got the toys every year. And after Return of the Jedi, a couple of years after, we give away all the vintage toys we had. Man. If I knew.
If you could have one of the things back, what was the crown jewel?
Oh, my Falcon.
Yeah. I can only dream of owning a Falcon when I was a little boy. But yeah. to give such a thing away. I don't know. But there's so many. I remember when I was getting back into Star Wars when I was maybe like 19. And just ringing every friend I could remember that had a good toy. Like, I was tracking people down, like, because there was no internet. But yeah. I'd say, hey, do you have this guy's number? Oh, I'd look up in the phone book and go, hey, yeah, it's Steel. Hey, do you still have those toys that you used to have? And one guy had a skiff, a Power of the Force skiff, but he sold it for like 50 cents at a garage sale thing. And I was like, oh, that's... It's $500 right there, buddy. You're killing me. But go back to Seb. Who was your character in Star Wars when, as you sort of like, who hit you? Who'd you relate to?
Luke Skywalker. For my entire youth and adolescence, definitely looking up to Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. How about you, Danny?
I'm a bad guy. It's Darth Vader. Wherever it was my favorite action figure, I still have like the 6-inch version behind me. And, it, you know, it never left me. And it was hard when you're a kid that age and, you know, there was no VHS, there were no Laserdisc or anything. So we had to replay the movie yourself with the toys because there was no other way to rewatch the movie. We had to wait years until Betamax and VHS came in. Then it took a while for Star Wars to go on VHS to have a version to watch. And it was not necessarily affordable for everybody at that time too. So when it came out in VHS, man, I used that tape like crazy.
To have access. Like, you don't know what it's like not to have access to Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a tape, whether it was commercially produced or nefariously duplicated, now there's the internet and Disney Plus imagine not having that. But just to have the tape, oh.
I think a withdrawal of Star Wars doesn't exist, right? Or nowadays. In the past, yeah, you needed your drug and you needed your Star Wars because you didn't have access to it. So I guess it might build your passion, you're waiting for it. And then when you get it, it's like a drug, basically. Mm.
It's very telling. One Luke Skywalker and one Darth Vader. It's reflects. What about background crew? Who's your favorite background character?
Wow.
You guys are both looking up at the same on my computer, like up above it looks like on my screen that you're looking up to my bookmarked websites for an answer.
I don't know. Boba Fett, I waited forever to get that figure, action figure, when it was a kid, the mail order figure. I waited forever to get it. And I was so happy when I got it, me and my brother. So I would say I had an anticipation for that one. And when I saw him in Empire Strikes Back, I was pleased. So
now Seb's holding up a Jawa. So I assume that his is Jawa.
It's part of his DNA, basically, Seb. Because he's scavenging tons of stuff for cosplay or whatever. So we call Seb the Jawa.
I think Seb's wiser because that is a far easier cosplay. Boba Fett, you've got all the things. Cobb Vanth tried to do it and he got laughed out of town. He's too skinny and stuff. But Jawa, with Harry, my little boy, I'm always like, oh, yeah, he likes Jawas. And I'm like, oh, that's an easy costume on Halloween. I'll put that in the bank. But Boba Fett, oh, this Mandalorian, it's making things very technical. Danny, my friend Hawes just cried tears of joy at the return of Boba Fett. No, that was my job. Boba Fett in The Mandalorian. As one of his favorites, did you enjoy his return? How did you find that?
Well, it was amazing. The action sequence, showing different part of his weaponry and stuff that we never seen in action. That was pretty cool. I mean, of course it was, I felt it was like, fan service a bit, but it was pretty cool.
Hey, serve me up.
Yeah, exactly.
Seconds and thirds.
Yeah, man. You mentioned the Luke Skywalker thing. With the first time I watched it, on my reaction video, I'm just like, serve me up. It was delicious. Hey, when they do it right. Now, both of you guys are getting secondary character nods because Seb, we've got off-world Jawas. How were you glad that the Jawas had gotten off Tatooine?
I am. I mean, even in the Legends universe, we heard of Sandcrawlers making it all the way to Kessel somehow. I don't know. So, we've seen the Jawas in other worlds, other than Tatooine. So we know they're universe scavengers by now. But yeah, it was great to see that they like the sandy planets a lot.
Hey, if you sand it, they will come. Now, Danny, being someone that remembers it from OG in the cinema, you've been there for all of them, in the seats, taken it in, on the big screen. What is the best scene that you have seen? What's your favorite scene in Star Wars?
Well, sorry to say, but because my first memory is the opening, of course, like many people, like fabriglasted, like, what the heck is that? You know, when you're a kid, especially at that age, you're impressionable. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, Harry, it was my birthday the other day. So I thought for my birthday, I'll make him watch the start of Star Wars. And when I fast forwarded it to when after all the words had disappeared, words are very boring to a 2 year old. Mm-hmm. And I just put on the Star Destroyer thing. And as the Star Destroyer went over, he did look at it and go, wow. And I was like,
exactly.
Done. Welcome to a whole new world.
Well, after he worked out that Baby Yoda wasn't going to be in the Star Destroyer, he was like, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda in there, Baby Yoda in there. We'll get him back in another couple of years. But it's that thing of that first scene. Like, you know, you talk about what it's like for a kid. I got to watch it firsthand. You can't comprehend hardly anything. But, that Star Destroyer, so good. So is that opening scene, is that where you're going to lock in? Or?
Yeah, well, I was pretty young, so it's far back in my memory. You know, it's almost, it's 43 years back now. So I remember two scenes from the original when I was in the seats. So it was the opening, and for some reason, R2-D2 and C-3PO on Tatooine in the desert with the Trade Dragon skeleton. Those are the two scenes I remember from my first viewing as a five-year-old. Then I saw, of course, Empire Strike Back, the Battle of Hoth, living in Quebec with the snow all the time in the winter. We were replaying with action figure in the snow outside to recreate, you know, Hoth. And Return of the Jedi was the first movie I did go to the cinema without my parents. I was old enough. So that was a big one for me too. I remember going in with my brother and my friends. So that that was a big part, and I remember seeing it three times in 83.
Yeah, I couldn't even comprehend seeing a movie twice back then. Mm-hmm. I was so young.
It was the only way to see it.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Yeah. But no, I wouldn't even have thought to ask my parents to go see it, because it's like, hey, once you see it at the movies, like, wait, once you've seen it at the movies, that's it.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't until later on that seeing things, or for my knowledge, seeing a film twice was even like comprehensible. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But Seb, what's your favorite scene?
Favorite scene for everything would have to be the beginning of episode 3, as they're diving down in their spaceship on Coruscant, and you get like the whole spaceship battle. That blew my mind.
Especially at Celebration 3, right?
Yeah, especially at Star Wars Celebration.
Because we had the chance to be in Indianapolis and the episode 3 panel. So they showed the entire opening of Revenge of the Sith 1 minute in advance to the attendees.
Oh!
So we're freaking out, like, in there. I think the music was different, but basically the film was coming out a month later, so it was done. The movie was done. Mm-hmm. So they show us the opening scene, the Battle of Coruscant. Like, wow!
So with the buzz droids as well, or...?
Yep. I think all the way until they were about to go in...
Yeah, it was all the way until they crashed into the General Grievous ship. But that's one. But for the original trilogy, my favorite scene remains, and it's very odd. I guess it's the way it was cut on TV, but it's the death of Obi-Wan. Because that scene would always be the scene that they would probably like cut the commercial to. Mm-hmm. So Obi-Wan would die, and then they would cut the commercial. And that probably marked my youth too much, because up to a certain point, I believed that Star Wars ended there. Like, I really thought that was the last scene. I completely forgot about, like, the whole Death Star and, you know,
Did they went back to good after ending. After the commercial, did they went back to Luke screaming no right after the commercial?
Yeah, exactly. That's so weird. So it is, but I mean like that's so
they didn't show the Death Star scene, or you just stopped watching?
No, they did. It's just like to a certain point my brain just stopped it there. I guess I was traumatized or something. I don't know. It's like, no, he's dead. So yeah, it wasn't until like a couple of years later I realized, oh no, yeah, that's not where the movie ends. There's like the whole like big Death Star explosion. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say nowadays the Battle of Yavin, I love it. It's so reminiscent of World War II and stuff. So it's,
all the X-Wing flying in formations like,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Hey, I'm fascinated with this first 10 minutes out of Revenge of the Sith thing. So this is a celebration. Like, so did they show it more than one? Like, did they repeat the pattern?
They show it twice. They did show it twice.
No, but did they have the panel again? Like, because I know some, like, they would run panels like at different sessions so more people could see it. I would just find it like, especially now in like, people don't get into to see the panel that's live streamed and they're very upset, which is, fair enough. But like, I couldn't imagine, or maybe it wasn't like a full house, but I couldn't imagine someone going to Star Wars convention and some people getting to see the first 10 minutes of the new film.
Well, we didn't know they were showing it. Yep. So basically it was a single panel once. There was no repeats.
Was it with McCallum, that loose cannon?
I think McCallum was there.
Yeah.
He hosted the thing, I think. Well, he's the one who said, do you want to see it again? But the room was not that big, if I remember. We did wait a couple of hours, but...
But it wasn't the end of the world, yeah.
No, it was not the first panel of the convention. It was actually one of the last, I think.
Yeah, I think it was on the last day. And the by then, it was under Wizard. It was their second celebration they were organizing, so they were starting to get to know what they had to do. And by then, they actually had... live broadcast in other rooms. So for that panel, I know they had like at least two other rooms that were just
okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So because we were only like about 30,000 fans back then.
The entire convention.
Yeah, for the entire convention. So forget about the 70,000s were that Reed Pop has to deal with nowadays. And the satellite rooms were something like that was being introduced. But for something quite as big as that, it was a necessity.
Wow. What was it like when they said, hey, do you want to see the first 10 minutes of the film? Like that's...
There's this 2 second of like pure silence where everyone's in their mind going like, what did they,
no.
Did they just say? Did it? Yeah! And everyone at the same time like starts screaming, woo! And that's why they had to show it twice. And it's the same thing like at every convention ever since. Whenever they show something like a trailer or something like that, they show it twice because the first time everyone's like flabbergasted and they have like emotional reaction and you don't quite get like the music or like what's being said in the trailer. So
and the room was show it again. Big, right?
No, it was I think it was about like a 5,000 to 7,000 people room tops.
No, I would say
less. 3,000 in Indianapolis. That's right.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I felt like there was 500 people in there.
No. It was a 3,000 to 3,500 theater.
Okay, it might just be because we were close and the screen was so big. It was like being in an IMAX theater.
Well, they actually brought in the special digital projector from Texas Instruments just for that particular screening. So that gives you an idea.
Wow, that's that would have been just like, and to think about it for a month, like, oh, so good.
Hey, you guys, just interrupting the show for a moment to let you know I am here in the studio, fresh off recording some juicy new Patreon exclusive content with the king of all Toms and published media, Tom Chansky. Tell the unassuming, freeloading listener what they're missing out on this week on the Steel Wars Patreon.
We just had a groundbreaking episode of Page Wars where Steele actually read a book and or listened to it. So you didn't really read it, but he listened to it and we talked about it. So I'm like totally thrown off and Steele is asking me questions and some of them I didn't even remember the answer to.
See, all this time I've realized that he could have just been telling me anything that goes on in these books. So I've done some research, which is taking the content myself. And we have a rip-roaring time either in Patreon exclusive audio or Patreon exclusive YouTube video discussing the ins, the outs, the paths, the breaks, the lights.
And the impressions that will get Steele spending the night on the couch.
Ah, yes. A little bit loud. And that special Star Wars moment for Dawson Creek's fans as well. We've got that as well. All that and 700 other things just like it on the Steel Wars Patreon. Patreon.com/Steel Wars. Just from $3, you guys. Three.
Worth it.
That's, Tom, that's like what, a one-fifth of a bottle of blue hair dye, yeah?
Maybe one half.
All right, don't worry. Not many other people have dyed their hair blue, so they won't even get that reference.
Yeah, there you go.
Back to the show.
There's one weird memory that is even doubly weird when you think about if they tried to do it now, where the Star Wars fan club were going to have a president, like a nominal face of the fan club president. And I believe the way he became president was to recruit the most amount of people to sign up for the fan club. And was it you, Seb, that was in contention for that? Were you the nominated would-be president?
Well, what happened is that Dan Madsen actually founded the Star Wars fan club back in the 80s. And as time moved on, he actually passed the torch on to Lisa Stevens. And at some point she was like, well, I've got other ventures I'd like to go to. So perhaps you should have someone from fandom actually becoming the president of the fan club. And so Lucasfilm decided to actually have sort of a contest on who could actually bring in the most Star Wars Insider subscriber. And there was
it sounds like a pyramid skit. It doesn't sound pretty legit much at all.
So essentially in the States, there were a couple of guys that decided to, you know, try their luck at it. And Dustin Roberts was one of them from TheForce.net. Mm-hmm. And 100% for sure, Dustin was going to get it because he's an awesome guy and he just deserved the position. And of course, even though Star Wars fandom is international, due to, I'm going to say, paperwork and stuff like that, the president of the fan club had to be an American. It couldn't be like anyone from anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. But we still had fun for quite a few shows where we actually said, you know what, we're going to do a campaign where Seb's going to run for president of the Star Wars fan club. And Danny actually came up with this jingle, and I actually came upon
it. I still have it. I still have it too.
Dude, can you play it now?
I don't know if the sound would come true. I don't know.
Oh boy.
Seb Music, Hail to the Chief. Okay, promo. There's two apparently. So let's.
Oh, I wonder if this is going to jar a memory.
Did you hear something? No? Okay. Let's see if I can play it.
Vote Sebastian for president of the official Star Wars fan club. Sebastian will ensure that this fandom sees an announcement of the fourth Star Wars celebration before the summer comes. Sebastian will appear all over fandom in order to maintain the power of the Force strong in the hearts of all Star Wars fans. Sebastian will include Star Wars Galaxies in the membership kit. He's crazy. He's got vision. And like Troy didn't say, and of course, if you vote for Sebastian, anyone can carry a blaster. Vote Sebastian for president.
I remember it! Oh my
remember,
God.
Folks, if you vote for me, you can carry a blaster. It's
oh my God. See, that's just crazy.
My memory was that, like, Dustin, who was from the ForceNet website and had this, you know, sort of big platform, who, like, I'm great friends with whenever we get to bump into each other because we've got very similar, like, skateboarding backgrounds, and I love chatting to him. God, if anyone loves a meme on Instagram, it's bloody Dustin Rock. There's not a meme he will not post on Instagram. I'll give him that much. But I remember, like, there was a couple of podcasts at that time that were going, and there was, like, a few podcasts that were sort of pushing Dustin rather competitively. And I remember thinking, nah, like, this is mean. Give Seb a shot as well. It was like, and so when because I mentioned this to you at Celebration when I was a little fanboy, and I'm like, oh, how about it when Egg tried to the election? And I was like, I was like a fanboy upset. And you're like, oh, it was all for fun.
Yeah.
But I remember at the time, it's like, oh, they're being mean to Seb. Like let him win as well. But I was taking it far more serious, I think, listening to it in Melbourne than anyone else was. But what did Dustin – I've got to get him on the podcast to ask him. What was his duties as president?
You know what? At the end of the day, Dustin didn't do quite much. He was more like a poster person, I would say. He did end up going to a few events and do a few things for some fandom stuff, like the Star Wars breakfast at Star Wars Celebration and things like that. But ultimately, there was no he wasn't like the president of a company. He wasn't deciding on things. He wasn't. It was really more of a poster position than anything else.
So, Sam, what you're saying is he was a patsy. That's what you're saying. He's like a Manchurian candidate getting controlled by the corporation.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Excellent. That's far more salacious. It's far more salacious. So you're doing your show, and I can't even recall what year this was. Was it 2013? My dates aren't very good. But Lucasfilm is announced to be sold to Disney. You've been doing this for over a decade. You did episodes where your major breaking news was some Star Wars miniatures or a source book. And then they announce all these movies. And, like, what was the vibe like on that episode?
Well, that's the episode that brought me back first. So as soon as...
Hey, no one's ever really gone.
Yeah, of course. I remember, well, I think I was looking at Facebook and I saw this coming, and then like, that's not true. That's impossible. And then I saw Steve Sensui post the same thing, and I said, oh boy, that's true. So I started like going back to the team. Back then, it was some people in Europe that were managing, like I said earlier, that were holding the podcast on. And it said, okay, we need to go back, do a special show. And we did, and we're going nuts. And at that time, you know, I said I went back to school and stuff. So now I'm a designer. So I said, okay, total rebrand. We're starting from scratch. We did archive all our stuff. So basically, we separated with George Lucas time and Disney time. So that's the split. And we started back again. The podcast was as original, basically a one show with different parts and for different subjects. But at some point, the show were like way, way, way too long again, 3 hours plus. And we're like, no way. So we decided to branch out. So now we have the main show and we have spin-off show that we have Star Wars on Direct Literature, we got Star Wars on Direct Gamers, we got Star Wars on Direct Making Of, we got Star Wars on Direct Spoilers. That was a show that was requested by people because a lot of people were getting spoiled on our show. So we decided to do a special show just for spoilers. So we branch out. So every category of stuff, collecting, gaming, literature, has their own specialty show now. So that's the way. So people don't have to listen to 3 hours of shows to get to what they like.
Hey, it was an honor. It was an honor. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, but not everybody's like you. So basically,
thank God.
So some people just like gaming or just literature, and of course the movies and TV show have their own. But you know, we decided to branch out that way. It's still under the same banner, but you know, it's more
concentrated content.
Yeah, it exploded from that point on.
And where were you at, Seb? Were you still doing the show like weekly in French before the prodigal son Danny came back, or what?
So at that time, I was also more on the back burner, kind of letting the other guys do things.
Was it because your Star Wars political career was in ruins because of Dustin Roberts? Is that
yeah? It's just like, you know,
dastardly,
ran me into the yeah. I was into the gutter. I couldn't get out of it. So no.
I had moved away from Montreal too. So
that's it. It's like ultimately, that's what happened. Danny moved away from Montreal. My two other co-hosts, one moved to Toronto, the other one moved to Australia. So I was pretty much left by myself. So at that point, things kind of fell apart for a while. And from time to time, I would make an appearance on the French shows, but it was like very sparse. And when the Disney era dawned on us, the one word to describe the show was excitement and intrigue, because we had no clue what we were going to see happen with that. And now we're getting a better idea of, you know, what's happening with it. But then we would never have done it. Wouldn't have dawned on us that it would go that far.
We had to rebuild the entire audience also. That was a one big thing, because after that many years without nothing, of course there's the excitement and fans would come in, but a lot of people forget, and our show was not known. You know, there was a gap when podcasting started in 2005. That's when we're prequel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Danny, you've gone blah. I think I've still got Seb, though. You there, Seb?
Yep. I'm still there. So what he's saying is that's it. In 2005, we're at the bottom of the wave, and, you know, people are getting less and less interested in such content. So it's harder and harder to actually develop a recurring audience. And at the end of the day, that's just what we're doing. We're just like trying to keep an audience. And because there was so many podcasts in English that would cover everything that we would cover in our show, that we said, you know what, we'll just concentrate on the French fan base, and we'll just deal with the French fan base, because that's originally what we wanted to do. So we concentrated on that for a couple of years. And when we came back, we said, you know what, let's just do a quick Star Wars podcast search. And we said, you know what, there's no point in even adding another podcast to the whole series of podcasts. That's
and that was there. Back then.
Yeah.
Like now there's like, it's awesome. That's what you know, podcasting's so cool, is anyone can start one. But there is, like, I don't know what the number is, but it must be thousands of Star Wars podcasts from when it was just – how many Star Wars podcasts were there, do you think, when iTunes launched?
Oh, less than 100, I think.
Definitely less than 100. I'm almost tempted to say less than 50 even, yeah. Like internationally.
Yeah, because you had to manage everything, you know, distribution of your MP3, and there were no – where we were the only live show – like 100% Star Wars content. And so basically people were recording and put it that on the website, and that pretty much was it. You know, the podcasting thing help like distribution.
Bullshit. And I want to say, we talk about live shows and we talk about podcasting. And one thing that we did from the get-go that was different from all of the other shows out there is we had a live webcam. So we were essentially doing like a live vlog, if you will. We were doing like a TV show on the internet.
All right.
And then we would put the archives up as MP3s and then push them as podcasts and all that.
There is so much that's changed. Like when we do this interview, this video, right? And in the background of you guys, you've got the sweet screens with the changing deal. It looks very professional. I don't know how any of this works because I use this platform, StreamYard. It's all very instantaneous. I always imagined, like in my mind's eye of you guys podcasting, when I was listening, that there were like 400 chords going from box to screen and like some things like I like a Millennium Falcon style audio setup.
You're like, not
like, how did you make it happen? Because it's also dumbed down now that it's like it suits me, but how did you make the chords work?
Yeah, basically it was a matter of figuring out stuff, because there's nothing easy at that point to broadcast on the internet. Yeah, there's traditional radio, that's one thing, but doing that on the internet when half the people still have dial-up, that's a completely different game. So you had to, you know, figure out first, the main thing is broadcast your feed, you know, how much bandwidth do you have? How many listeners you can have? Because we had to have a server somewhere.
Actually, Danny, let's time out here. Let's go back to the basics. The first thing we needed to figure out was
how to record
everything.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because when we started this, the very first shows were actually in Danny's brother's basement. And we were on a small four-way mixer, which was improperly grounded, so we had a lightsaber hum going
for
the entire show. And then we actually took that same mixer and we brought it into Danny's studio, let's call it that. And and we still had to deal with the issues of the hummings, and that was really, really bothering Danny. So he actually went out and he got like one of the best external sound card that he could find at the time, and it was like, I think it was a Real Audio NX2 or something like that. It was a USB sound card.
I still have it there.
Like, me too. I still have one. And so we would be able to plug in four headsets or up to four microphones
with splitters.
So we essentially had like one wire that was coming out of the computer that was going on a table. And then we had like one splitter that would be splitted into two more splitters for both the mic and the headphones, the microphone and the headphones. And so one of those microphones was actually going to a phone base that would have a speakerphone, so we could actually call the guests, we could call the fans, because unlike Jedi Talk, we didn't have a number that people could call in. We decided to control that aspect a little bit more, so people asked us to call them and then we call them up.
Yeah, we call it in Europe sometimes.
Yeah, that shows the desperation of the time. We'd call fans.
Well, except you forgot something very important. The first four shows were recorded on cassette tapes.
On cassette tapes. That was like the logistical aspects. So every time we would do a show, Danny would have to set up.
Stop talking.
For all that.
Stop talking. You recorded your podcast onto a cassette.
Yeah, the first four, yeah.
Yep.
What did you do with the, like what happened then to the content?
So for the guys on that are watching this on video, like, this is what a cassette tape looks like.
I think you're going to have the cassette. I'm going to be very impressed.
but still, we actually have a TV show came to our studio in 2003, and we have a video of that. If you're interested in seeing it, it's in French, but you see our setup and all that thing.
Ah, awesome. Is that on YouTube?
I don't think so. I have the file here.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you, and this is good sizzle for people to watch the YouTube, because I was going to ask you for some
B-roll and stuff.
Yeah. And some photos and what, and so I can like slip that in. So, yes, I want to see that quite, because I've got in my head all the call, like it. I was worried for you every week that you were going to catch
it. It's pretty like Uncle Junk thing.
Oh, listen, I don't have handy picture of what Star Wars on Direct looked like our studio back then. What I do have, and I'm going to do my best to show you guys. So right here, this is the Jedi Talk crew at the 501st Bash at Star Wars Celebration 2. And you can see all the computers and the microphones and the wires running from the computers and all that. So this is actually a souvenir of how we used to do things back then.
And so, still, they were better equipped than we were.
Yeah. So that gives you an idea of like the logistics behind what it was to do internet radio back then, because it wasn't called podcast; it was called internet radio.
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing I was thinking about before is one day you woke up and Steve Jobs told you all you were podcasters. You found out on the Apple stream.
We knew
it was more. Bit.
Yeah, there were rumors and stuff, and people were. I think the RSS feed already existed, so there were people testing it and trying it.
It was more of an evolution of the technology and of the sharing of what our show was. It was more of an evolution of things, so it wasn't like completely a rebranding of what we were doing. It was just like an evolution of how things were moving along.
And yeah, it gave us the option of, if people were not there live to participate by a law, you could download it and listen to what you had to say.
But when Danny was bringing up before about uploading to a server and all that, because back then, when I first started listening to podcasts, they'd talk about how they got charged per download. Like, it was like whoever had the file, whatever internet company. Like now, if you have a podcast, you just pay, you know, so much a month and it stores all the things. But it would actually, like, if an episode went really well, they would get charged more money based on how popular it was. And people would be like trying to raise money because it's like, we can't afford to pay for the bandwidth and stuff. It was just a total, it was baffling. Part of the whole thing that it was impressive to me was that it was just happening. It was insane. Hey, in the French language, is there like parts of Star Wars fandom or references or funny things in the movies that is different? Like, is there like unique parts of like French speaking Star Wars fandom to other parts?
Bad translation.
Examples, please. Examples.
Oh, let's see. Well, they literally translated like, I must amend that this was only the first movie, so A New Hope. They corrected that afterwards. So they use like expression that they use in Europe, basically. Luke Skywalker, they literally translated Skywalker for Cour le Ciel, so running in the sky.
Like Chewie was Chico.
Yeah, Chewie was Chico. Instead of C-3PO, the letter C-3PO, they call it Z, so the letter Z, 6-P-O. Z-6-P-O, so like, that feels weird.
And so that evolved over time, like, so his name changed over time.
Oh, they changed it right after the next movie. Like, Jabba the Hutt was Jabba the Forester. in French, like, for no reason,
some weird things, yeah. Some really weird things.
But the thing American needs to understand, the culture in America is really accepting of, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, and stuff. And in those days, in Europe, it was really you didn't talk about it. You know, it was more, even in the prequels in Europe, you know, you don't talk too much about being a fan of sci-fi stuff. Mm. So you're very lucky in the US, well, in America, and basically people accept that more. I don't know, it's because of Hollywood and the movies that are made here, and maybe that's it. You know, it's not like underground movie making like in Europe and stuff like that. But, you know, that might be part of it, and the prequel helped the fandom out there to come out the closet.
Okay.
Here, people were already out for a while, many years before, but in Europe it came, I think the early 2000, well, I think 90s and 2000, people were starting to come out as, you know, science fiction fan more. Was more common, but in America it's been like years and years, decades.
How do you find the, like, the translation, like on Disney Plus, if you put it on in French? Like,
I never watched in French.
Well, you've evolved past the point of watching the movies.
Yeah, I'm a purist. If it's a Japanese film, I'm probably going to watch it in Japanese with subtitles. So I know English, so I watch English shows with their original language. So
I will say, for people who are born in Quebec, we usually watch movies in French when we're younger. And as we grow older, if you live, like, I lived in the city of Montreal, which is like a metropolis, so learning English actually comes fairly naturally to us. So
but we're surrounded by English speaking people
because, like, we're surrounded by
Southeast America
and
Canada. Most of it is Anglophone. So.
So at some point it becomes kind of a natural pathway to watch the movies in the language that they actually came out into. But yeah, for the longest period of time, I would only watch Star Wars in French. So instead of punch it, Chewie, it would be Chico, mets la gomme, which is well, ridiculous.
It's kind of a French expression. It's kind of a metaphor of gum, you know, gum, like the chewing gum.
Uh-huh.
Put the gum under the accelerator pedal.
Ah,
with sticks. So Chewie, put the gum under the pedal. That's pretty much what it translates to.
Put the metal to the pedal to the metal, essentially.
Exactly. That's what it's a French expression with the gum that sticks the pedal down.
Excellent. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I am as giddy as I was at Celebration about this. And as I said in the intro, it's very apt that you're relighting the flame of interview episodes with your 20th anniversary after 20 years. You're both lifelong fans. So much announced in Star Wars. Danny, what are you looking forward to most that's coming up?
Wow. Well, seeing as much as I can, because I don't think I will outlive Star Wars now that it's in the hands of Disney. So I think they will, milk that cow forever. The Rogue Squadron movie. I was always a big, fighter jet type of, Top Gun fan and so on. So, of course, something about fighter pilots is really interesting to me. And the Cassian Andor show, for some reason, I don't know if it's because of Rogue One, but really big interest. And I love Ahsoka. Like, one of my favorite characters since Disney bought the, I didn't like Ahsoka as much earlier on, but she grew on, and I really liked her later on in the Clone Wars, and now I think it's one of the best character overall in the entire saga, like the most developed character overall. It's we saw her from a kid to an adult, so it's a really great character, and I can't wait to see what's next. And bringing back the entire storyline of the Clone Wars and Rebels with Tron. Mm-hmm. That's insane. For me, that's insane. Like, I remember in 91 when I picked up those Heir to the Empire books. Oh, it's just it's episode 7 or whatever they were selling it as. It was insane. And that brought me to reading and do a website about books, and then a news website in French, then Star Wars on Direct. So I've been doing online Star Wars since 97, basically. But I don't think it's going to end. So I wonder how long we will run the podcast. Like, we have a big team now. It's like 20 hosts that split their time. So
and in some cases they're kids.
Yeah, we have a kids show, and we have a kid host. Well, she's now a teenager, but she started a bit younger. But she was reviewing kids' book and toys for kids and stuff. So it was pretty cool.
Wow, growing up Star Wars podcasting. That is. Yeah.
We have to train our
succession.
Yeah, exactly, succession.
That is so dope. Seb, what are you looking forward to most, buddy?
In the latest announcements, Rangers of the New Republic is probably what I'm looking forward to the most. However, the one thing that I'm really looking forward to is whatever they're going to do about the Old Republic stuff. Because I know we've got like the Light of the Jedi stuff that's coming out right now, and we know it's going to be multi-platform, and I can only hope that they're also going to make movies about it. I'm a big fan of history. I'm a big fan of the Templars. I love the graphic novels that were written by Kevin J. Anderson, Tales of the Jedi and all that stuff. So I cannot wait to see what they're going to do about that.
Well, I the Tales of the Jedi, loved them as well. That's what the Taika Waititi, if that one goes back to sort of that early age of the Jedi, mm-hmm. I just remember like Nomi Sunrider I remember where I was in my very average call center job at the time, getting back from the comic book shop, I'm like, oh, yes, they got their lightsabers are attached to their backpacks for powers and all that sort of stuff. So I am hanging for that sort of stuff. But I'm interested. I don't hear many people list the Rangers of the New Republic at the top of their list. Why? What about that interest you, Seb?
I'm a big fan of history, and Band of Brothers is something that was that actually struck me when it came out. So when we walked out of the hall in Celebration Anaheim after watching the teaser for Rogue One, which was essentially just like a flyby of a canyon and then pan onto the Death Star, mm-hmm. being built. I walked out and I I crossed paths with my friend Chris Mock to actually produce The Force Among Us.
I know Chris, yeah.
Documentary. And I said, Chris, we need to sit down and we need to write a show about Star Wars, but like Band of Brothers. And I have the feeling that's sort of what it's probably going to be, or at least I can only hope. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Hey, rebellions are built on hope, or so I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, thanks so much. Let the good people of the internet know where they can listen to the podcasting, particularly if we've got any bilingual fans that can enjoy the French-speaking Star Wars action.
Yeah, well, basically, it's going to be mostly iTunes, Spotify for a traditional, podcast. Live for now, we're doing it on. We have a Discord server, so look for Star Wars on Direct and YouTube. So basically, we archive also not visual. Usually, it's just the audio feed with an image. Sometimes we do video shows like we did for our 20th anniversary, but that one-offs. And where else can we find us? That's pretty much it. Well, all the podcast basically feed that and, you can find. On the website, it's StarWars.direct. StarWars.direct.
Gotcha. And what about like Instagram and Twitter, all that good
stuff? Yeah, of course. Look for Star Wars on Direct on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and our Discord server. Yeah,
that's you guys would have a MySpace page, a live journal, a Friendster.
We skipped over MySpace.
Okay, all right. Poor Tom. Well, yeah. Thanks so much, you guys. It is.
Thank you so much for having us. I mean, it's great to see that what we did. What we started 20 years ago inspired people like you to actually pursue such incredible endeavors. And maybe we didn't make it on the red carpet, but you did. And and to know that, it warms my heart because of what Danny and I started so many years ago, the community is still bonding strongly together, and that's what it's all about. It's all about bringing the fans together, and that's what we need to endeavor on forward. Unity!
Especially nowadays, with all the toxicity on the internet around Star Wars, and the fake news and stuff, like, it's insane. Yep. So...
Yeah, it's but it, you know, it's that those issues are not Star Wars alone's issues.
No, that's it. Yeah,
sometimes I feel like people are like, oh, Star Wars fans. It's like, hey, these issues are all over the place. But thanks so much for your kind words, Seb. I thinking about me listening to you guys, like, sort of reminds me, like, to stay pumped about doing it. Because I remember how much I loved like waiting for the next episode and all that stuff. So I so appreciate it. And it was so good to catch up with you guys. And oh my God.
It was a pleasure.
Let's hope we can do it in person again.
Of course. Next celebration, we'll do a big thing.
Oh, and that big thing is a jug of beer. Let's do it.
It will involve a jug of beer.
Excellent.
A tower of beer.
Well, thank you so much. I will hold you to that. And to everyone listening, may that force be with you.
Star Wars, c'est pas seulement un film, c'est une philosophie aussi en même temps.
On dirait que c'est pratiquement quelque chose qu'on aimerait vivre dans notre subconscient. On sait que c'est impossible, mais qu'on aimerait vivre.
J'ai très hâte qu'on voit si les 2000 Jedi qu'on a au Canada vont être suffisants pour faire des Jedi une religion canadienne.
Si vous êtes aussi exalté que ces messieurs lorsqu'il est question de la guerre des étoiles, vous ne voudrez pas manquer leur émission de web radio Star Wars en direct. J'ai d'ailleurs eu le privilège de me rendre dans leur studio maison.
Vous partez.
Je vais dire, au départ, on était très nerveux. Les premières fois qu'on a fait ça, là.
Bonjour à tous et bienvenue à Star Wars en direct, la voix de la communauté francophone de Star Wars. Maintenant, le sujet principal qui n'est pas vraiment le sujet principal, mais c'est-à-dire...
Va-t'en faire, je suis pas un sujet principal.
Notre web radio, c'est Star Wars en direct. Ça existe depuis janvier 2001. Il n'y avait personne avant nous qui avait pensé à faire une émission véritablement web radio dédiée à la guerre des étoiles live.
Qu'est-ce que tu trouves d'original dans la radio? À la radio qu'on fait?
Ben, je pense que via l'Internet, c'est toujours bien intéressant parce que tu prends contact avec plein de monde qui partagent la même folie que toi. Il y a des gens qui la partagent plus que toi, il y a des gens qui la partagent moins. Des fois, c'est toi qui as la ligne free, des fois, c'est l'inverse.
Par email, c'est à studio@swendirect.com.
Ainsi que clavardage, messagerie instantanée et téléphone. Bref, tous les moyens sont permis pour communiquer avec les animateurs. En moyenne, de 20 à 90 auditeurs écoutent l'émission en direct, tandis qu'une centaine d'autres la téléchargent une fois celle-ci archivée.
Bonsoir.
Bonjour, Michael.
Ça va bien?
Oui. Et toi?
Très bien, merci.
Est-ce que ça arrive que tu vas downloader les émissions par la suite pour nous réécouter?
Oui, toujours. Ben, ça arrive souvent. Puis pour les émissions que j'ai manquées aussi. Puis c'est toujours, tu sais, on écoute une émission, mais c'est toujours intéressant de réécouter ce qui s'est dit puis de repenser après.
Il faut avoir énormément de connaissances dans le sujet dont on veut faire la web radio. Un bon équipement technique, ça aide évidemment, avec des bons serveurs.
Il faut être très patient. Il faut faire de la bonne promotion parce que c'est très difficile à lancer. C'est uniquement sur le web.
Avec un thème aussi précis, on peut croire que les sujets de discussion se font rares. Heureusement, Star Wars a généré une quantité incroyable de jeux vidéo, de dessins animés, de DVD et surtout de romans. L'émission peut donc lancer un débat farfelu sur la couleur des sabres laser des personnages ou proposer une entrevue officielle avec un auteur de romans.
Dans le temps où j'écoutais l'émission de radio Jedi Talk, qui est une des émissions qui nous a inspirés à faire Star Wars en direct, c'était j'aimais ça entendre les gens parler, d'autres fans comme moi, discuter de sujets, parler avec des auteurs, poser des questions à des auteurs que moi, je pourrais jamais aller poser.
Dans un chat normal.
Dans un chat normal.
Pour nous, c'est un autre moyen de communication qui est plus naturel et puis qui est moins soumis à l'interprétation que l'écrit.
On fait un lien entre les fans et les créateurs, minime, mais quand même un lien qui existe et qui est présent puis qui fait du bien au fandom Star Wars.
On va fermer l'émission là-dessus?
Moi, je vais juste en profiter avant que vous la fermiez pour vous remercier. Merci à vous, les animateurs, de me recevoir pour une entrevue pour l'émission.
Vous étiez à l'écoute de Star Wars en direct.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.